This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Detroit is back in control of its finances. It is out of oversight. It's a big moment for a city that just 3 years ago exited the biggest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history. Detroit Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley is with us now. Rochelle, when we hear that Detroit is out of oversight, explain what that means. What's ending? What's resuming?
Well, for people who watch the largest municipal bankruptcy in the nation's history, I think they sort of thought, oh, okay, well, they went into bankruptcy. Things are fine. Things have been working fine, but things are now at a point where people believe that they're going to be fine. And the Financial Review Commission, which unbeknownst to a lot of people has had to approve budget and spending for the past 3 years, no longer will have to do that. Now, the city will have to still file some reports with them on a regular basis to make sure that the budget continues to be balanced. But this means that Detroit is in charge of governing itself without state control.
And Detroit had to serve up three straight balanced budgets to make this happen. How significant is this?
Well, for a city where people questioned the ability to do that and thought that it wasn't possible because of low tax revenue and because of the way things worked and because of pension obligations, all types of things got in the way, and they were literally, you know, spending money that they shouldn't to try and pay the bills. This shows that this city can operate like a city, that it can spend within its means, and that it can do it consistently. They had to do it for 3 years, so it wouldn't be 1 year and it's a fluke or 2 years and it's luck. But 3 years shows that this is how it works now. So the great thing for me is that this, while it's big news, it's not a surprise. And that's the wonderful thing. Because of how hard people have been working across the region, you know, to make sure that Detroit thrives, and it still has some struggles and some things that it has to work on, but this was something that was coming. This is something that we watched coming, and it's here now, and it's like, yeah, this is exactly what was supposed to happen.
And who gets credit for this?
You know, there are people who want to detract from what Mike Duggan has done, and he has his critics, but this has been about a very solid bit of leadership from someone who said, this is going to work no matter what. He took expertise from the DMC. He took the political capital that he had from, you know, various other jobs, and he brought all of that to the table and said, we're going to run the city on what it can afford. And he did that. For the first time in years, you didn't have these major battles between the mayor and the city council. They worked together to make sure this worked. And quite frankly, the city is operating like a city. So a lot of that falls into his lap. Some falls into the city council's lap, because when you have two entities that are working together, that means both sides are doing it. And this council worked with this mayor in a way that council in the past has not worked with mayors to make sure that they got to this point.
So what does Detroit being out of oversight, what about the people in the neighborhoods in Detroit, the ones who've kind of been left standing in the shadows with the attention on downtown and Corktown and Midtown and District Detroit? What's in this for them?
Well, I think that part of the problem has been in the past that every time people in the neighborhoods, and you know, Midtown and downtown have neighborhoods too, but we're talking those folks out in the neighborhoods where there are homes, where there were property tax payers and income taxpayers who kept the city going, you know, sort of kept Detroit up when Detroit was barely up. They're like, okay, when do we get ours? And there have been opportunities to say, well, because Detroit is broke, or because Detroit is under state control, or because Detroit is counting on federal funds, there was always an excuse. Well, the buck now stops with the city. That means everything they want and they ask the city for, the city can't look to anybody else and say, well, we have to get permission, or we have to find the money, or we, you know, they now are in charge of those requests, those demands, those pleas for more attention. And that's happening. You know, the mayor announced during his State of the City that he was going to work on strategic plans to expand what's happening downtown and Midtown out to the other neighborhoods, and he's trying to do that. He made an ask just last week of foundations and philanthropic groups to put in money for an expansion to make sure that they create 10 neighborhoods instead of three. Right now there are three that they've been focused on to bring some development and life and commercial excitement to three neighborhoods. Well, they want to expand that to 10, and so they're asking folks to put in and do that. And if they do, you know, that will show that we can do some of this out in the neighborhoods. Of course, they still have a little issue with affordable housing because they're using an area index for what is affordable instead of what people in Detroit can afford. And that's going to be a problem because it doesn't matter if you call it affordable housing if people in Detroit can't afford it.
Bottom line, now that the ball is out of the state's court and it is back in the mayor's court and city council's court, What has to happen and what cannot happen at the Coleman A. Young Municipal Building going forward?
Well, what can't happen is for there to continue to be this idea of two Detroits, the Detroit that exists in the downtown and midtown in the 7.2 that's becoming mostly upscale, mostly elite, mostly white, and the people who represent the majority of the population in Detroit feeling left out. I talked to Peter Cummings, the developer, months ago about what could derail the Renaissance, and he said unrest from the folks who feel left out of it. And that is what the city and its leaders have to pay attention to all the time, that people who represent the majority of Detroit don't feel like, and I know this is going to sound very dramatic, but feel like South Africa in the 1980s, where there's this small minority that's doing great, and you've got a whole majority of people who are feeling like second-class citizens. That is the only thing I think right now that could do it, because the city is balanced. The city is spending the money that it has. The city actually is spending less money that it has and is turning in budgets with surpluses. So that's what they have to do, is to focus on that. And if they focus on that and do it in a way that helps the actual people who we're talking about, then Detroit is going to be great.
Detroit Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley. Rochelle, thanks so much.
Thank you.